Here we go. Sorry, Abby. Okay. Right, morning, everybody. Right, we're going to start. Just these are the weekly presentations and quits. Are we timing it today, Chantal? So
10 minutes.
You've got pretty much sort of 10 minutes each. What we want you to do really is just basically discuss where you are and your idea and open it up to each other for ideas. If you're stuck for questions, take one out of here. Okay.
There's also a form that needs to be completed in reference to this activity. So whoever is speaking, somebody needs to scribe for them. So I suggest that the person next to you, maybe on your right or on your left, is the scribe, and then you're the presenter. So where it says general overview, that's just like, you know, what idea and theme and discipline that you're looking into. And there are some prompts for questions on there, but we need you to set some specific actions or targets that you think will be helpful, okay? But as a group, you're deciding that.
Now, does anybody want to go first? Or should I do Ibble Obble Black Bobble? Ibble Obble Black Bobble, Ibble Obble out. Right, Ava, you can start. Here you go.
Okay, so Amy, could you scribe for Ava?
I shall move that towards you, Ava. There we go.
So to talk about...
Ava, just maybe you want to just give everybody a quick synopsis on just what the idea and the notion is, and then where you're at, and then let's just open it up to see where everybody would like to add or...
Or suggest,
yeah.
So basically, my project's about women in sports, and... I just wanted to... do this project because I played a lot of sports when I was younger, and I still do now, but I always found like there's not enough representation for women in it, especially professionally with like TV and stuff and like advertisements. There's not a lot going on, and yeah, I'm pretty much in like the experimentation stage of my project still, just sort of like refining my final idea. That's pretty much it.
Can you identify what to record as primary research?
I did my own photo shoots, and I was, and just talking to people that I know who play a lot of sports and like friends that I have.
How has that helped you in your project?
It's been quite good because most of the people that I speak to, like I spoke to one of my friends who's in America right now, pursuing her career in tennis, and she really likes it because I feel like most of the people that I speak to about it, they really like the idea because it's like they feel the same about it, and like it's not something... I don't know, it's not got a lot of, I've only come across like one or two artists that have like based their work around this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Have you done any research? And you know, at the moment, obviously, it's trans women in sports is kind of a fairly controversial topic in women's sports at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, have you done any sort of exploration into that or?
I didn't want to like research like most, because I didn't want my idea to get to like, I wanted it to be like focused on one point sort of. I didn't want it to be too broad and get like lost in like another topic, because I feel like that topic on its own like probably just like deserves its own like exploration. But I looked into it, but it's not where I want the main focus of my project to be.
So what wider context do you think you've looked at then that sort of backs this idea up?
I looked into a lot of like there's a lot of interviews and stuff with like female athletes who like tell their stories. I watched a couple documentaries about like female basketball players, and I tried to look into like theorists and stuff, but it's not a lot of like people talking about this type of thing. It's mainly just, if it struggles with women, it's mainly just like other things, like, yeah.
Do you want to maybe show you the groups and stuff, that, you know, like some visuals that
yeah.
are leading your
So this was like
design.
This was like the first one I made, so it's quite brief. It's like, it's just the concept board of like the sort of theme that I wanted to give, and then I wanted to be more specific. So this one has got some artists on it, and it's got some quotes, and so this is more of my artist mood board that I was looking into for inspiration. And then I was looking into like some graphic artists, because you know when you search on like Pinterest, like feminist stuff, it always comes up with all those like stickers and like all those like badges that you can like put on your clothes. So I wanted to like, so this is like the like initial ideas I had pretty much, and then I like decided on the feminism in sports. So with the graphics thing, I wanted to do some lino prints, and so I have them all here. That's not presented yet, but I did a few of those. So like, yeah.
So what message are you trying to communicate?
Just a sort of, mainly just a message of like empowerment and encouragement, because I know there's a lot of girls when they hit the age of 12 that don't like want to like do sports anymore because it's not like, it's not a feminine thing, or they don't want to like appear too masculine, or
sure, you know, it seems to me at the moment with the rise of female football teams,
mm-hmm.
female rugby,
well I personally know a lot,
yeah.
So it's mainly, well, it has become like more acceptable, definitely, but when I was younger, like when, like it definitely, there was a lot of people dropping out.
Is this an opinion drawing on lots of people's experiences or just your own?
It's mainly just like my own personal experience, but I know like quite a few people that used to like play like cricket or netball.
Have you got interviews with them where you talk to them about these things, that why they stopped?
No, it's mainly just like recollection.
Do you think then it would be like autobiographical
yeah.
towards yourself and your
yeah.
feelings?
It probably is more so towards myself, but yeah.
So well, are you going to be in the final image? Is it going to be almost self-portraiture or self, since it's this autobiographical
experience? I hadn't thought about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't really want, well, yeah. I hadn't thought
I
about that.
I just think if it's leading, you know, like if all your research is from personal experience and it's autobiographical, then it kind of, the imagery should somehow infuse that, that it
yeah.
is actually a vantage point from you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would probably recommend having you in it.
Yeah. Okay.
As a side shoot, it's something to just experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you guys think? You know?
Make it more personal towards.
So it's a bit
yeah.
more personal, so that it is that vantage point.
Yeah.
Right, we're almost out of time. So can we open the floor back to these questions from you guys? Is there any out there that you think will be really necessary for people?
Do you think you'll continue with like the lino cut, or what medium do you think you'll continue in that you've experimented with?
So at the moment, I have one here that's like a bit of a rough experimentation. It's like this sort of, it's like a bit of mixed medium, sorry, and and I think I want to stick with, I'm doing one at the moment that's oil, but I want it to be a bit more graphic. So I was looking, like the purpose of doing the lino cuts was I wanted to try and see if I could sort of make that into like a background. I could do like a big one and then have like an oil painting over it.
I would maybe consider the colour pink as well, because you're not sort of, by using pink and women sort of playing into a trope, you know, of just that sort of ultra feminine feeling. Was that a purposeful decision?
Well, I wanted it to, yeah, I think I just wanted, I just liked the theme of it, because it's often like, I don't know, thought of as like a feminine thing, and like there's nothing wrong with that, and sports is also a feminine thing, so I just wanted to sort of tie the two together.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I just, you know, because obviously that main picture was just all tones of pink, so
yeah,
that was the intention.
Yeah, no, I wanted to keep it like a certain colour, because I didn't want to get too focused on the tones if it was like a normal.
Any other questions?
Have you looked into any other kind of like wider context about like female empowerment, like movements or anything?
Yeah, I did have like a look about marches and stuff like that.
Is any of this recorded, Ava?
I have like the tabs open on my laptop. And that's,
I think you just need
we're
to
like week work. 7, babe, and I'm like a bit nervous, if I'm being really honest.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know that you know all these things, but the EV won't accept that us going, they knew it, we promise. They want to see it actually evidenced.
Yeah.
So print out those tabs, stick them in your sketchbook, make some notes, okay? That's my big tip to you,
okay?
Moving forward. Do that as a matter of urgency.
Because we really want to start making the final next week.
Well, it's getting to that stage, okay?
Because you're going to need to prep your canvases, aren't you? And get
there's
the material.
That have to happen.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would, for the rest of this week, just start managing now.
The idea sounds fun, and, like, the practical stuff, fine. Like, you're very capable and competent at, like, the painting and the execution of it. But because we're on this mastery model, if you're aiming for these higher up grades, everything needs to be within those higher up brackets.
Yeah.
So if your context is a bit or not evident,
yeah,
you can drag everything down. It doesn't matter if you create a beautiful fine piece, it really doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So please get your head down.
Okay.
No, I'm excited, you know, it's like if
it's
you
got real potential.
Execute this, it's gonna be lovely.
Thank you.
And so just quickly, what scale are you thinking?
Big.
Nice. Big and bold.
Yeah.
So that's why you'll have to take in, you know, going to Andy, getting the measurements, stretching your canvas, prepping your canvas.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the way you paint is with such detail that that's going to take 2 weeks easily.
I know, yeah.
So, you know, we've only got a month. Okay. Right, thank you, Ava.
Cool.
That's amazing.
So, Amy. So, Paige, if you wouldn't mind scribing.
Where are we at, Amy?
So, last time we talked about the swing thing, and I've looked a lot into the health and safety, like I said last time, but...
Do you want to just sort of give these guys the context of what we discussed
last time I was talking about making a swing. So, if you know Millennium Park, there's a big swing with netting on it, and I wanted to recreate that, but in a dream catcher kind of sense. But looking into the health and safety, if I said it was like an interactive piece in my final product, then someone could like fall out of it or something, or like hurt themselves, and I don't want that. But I might still make it, but just say don't interact with it.
We've had students build things like that before, but they've had to go to welding.
Yeah.
Go to another department and get their
but
support.
I'm just not sure if it's like worth the risk of someone like hurting themselves, or like the ceilings aren't very like stable here. So I just...
I know, but I think you're thinking a bit naively about health and safety, and Andy's going to be... You know, again, there's millions of ways about... You know, don't let that put you off making a hammock.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I still might make it, it's just that I won't let people, like, go inside
it. And I think the thing is as well, with a lot of these projects, you can talk about it if you had £1 million and if you had all the time in the world.
Yeah.
How you would execute it, where it would be, and what it would look like.
Yeah.
You know, so you can do all of that and evidence that without actually
yeah,
feeling like you've got to make, you know,
yeah,
a giant hammock and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, and like the other thing was I was going to use the hula hoop, and there's no way people over like a certain weight, not saying like, it'd be like 8 stone like maximum without
yeah.
it breaking.
Yeah.
So I just wouldn't want someone to like go in it and hurt themselves and then break it. It would just be like a bit like worthless after
yeah.
that. But I will probably still make that. That's like going to be a part of my piece because I'm going to do the installation. And
yeah.
I was thinking as well, I've started to like think about the night lights with the acrylic, and I experimented with different
yeah.
like paints and everything that would like show through, but I quickly discovered that it just comes out as a shadow rather than tinted. So I'm going to use a blue cellophane, which I have upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to stick it onto the acrylic and then paint shadows of I don't know what yet.
So sorry, I'm just trying to sort of understand. So this is basically you thinking of a room that's conceptual,
mm-hmm.
and this is
yeah.
about the lighting within
mm-hmm.
that room,
yeah.
and how to create shades of blue.
Yeah.
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 And this is all to
create like a certain feeling of like calmness.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm also looking into lavender, which and I've got a lot of lavender now, and I'm going to make pillows. So like when you walk to the room, like smell,
nice.
Sight, feeling everything, and I also came across another problem. I'm sure I'll fix it though. I want to make like the whole floor like cushioned, but I actually need to find a lot of cushions and pillows for that. I probably will go to like Acorn. I went to Acorn the other day, but they didn't have like the right sort of.
They don't. I would just do an amnesty with everybody. Everyone's
yeah.
got spare rank cushions.
Yeah, like literally just like anything.
Yeah, I've
yeah.
got loads of rank cushions you can
yeah.
have.
yeah. So I've got that. But yeah, that's basically what I've done since last time.
So have you got any drawings of what this room's going to look like?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
I'm planning on doing that today. But I've also got photography as well, because like, I want to like fill the space
yeah,
wisely.
Yeah, show us some stuff. Show us the elements. Then.
So
then
I've got some photography of me, like different sleeping positions. And I looked into the fetal position and everything. And how people feel more comfortable in that sense, and again links back to me wanting people to feel comfortable in my installation.
Lovely.
And I was thinking of like putting these pictures up if I had like an extra space on the wall or something, and like blowing them up big.
Well, this is why the importance of looking at the different rooms here,
yeah.
drawing them up,
yeah.
maybe getting some scale, drawing them to scale, and then actually coming up with some perceived plans and some
yeah.
mock-ups.
Yeah, definitely. So I've like looked into that, and I might do some drawings, because I've already done this one, but it's a very quick one. I might do some bigger drawings of that. So yeah, that's where I've gone so far. Yeah, I've just got those.
I think the idea of the swing, even if like it's not usable, but having it there and like seeing that it can swing but
mm-hmm.
not have anybody on it is a really good idea.
Yeah.
Because they don't have
yeah.
to enter the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can make it so they look through the room. You know, you could even do it
yeah.
if they're looking for a letterbox
mm-hmm.
into the room, or you know, you've got to decide whether you want it to be interactive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I have to think more about it, to be honest. Like, I've roughly got an idea of where I want everything to be, but I obviously need to draw it out
yeah.
and just double check everything's okay.
Because sometimes, and there's a phrase that my and PJ's old tutor, Glyn, who you're going up to see on Friday,
mm-hmm.
you say you can over-gild the lily. You can have too many elements, throw all the glitter and gold paint at it, and it looks like a dog's dinner.
Yeah.
So having some plans and thinking things through,
mm-hmm.
having A, B, C, D, E of
mm-hmm.
this installation, and then honestly thinking, well, what is actually going to be good? And not being afraid to take things out.
Yeah.
And go, maybe that's a bit too much.
Because
mm-hmm. with installations, it's kind of about purity of the concept
yeah.
and the message.
And is a room necessary? Do you think a room's necessary for this?
It depends on what's in the room. I think that if it's a bedding and like comfort, having like an enclosed space might feel.
But that would require people to interact with it.
Mm.
That's the point.
Because I'm like, do you know what I mean? I'm looking at this little corner, which
mm-hmm.
is already blue
yeah.
kind of thing. You know, you've got framework to hang, like almost create a tent.
Yeah.
Or create, you know, like the idea of a bed chamber.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and things like that, you know, where they just go in at the side there and the cushions are all on the floor there. And again, so what I would do is consider some other areas as well and spaces,
yeah,
and just think, how can I execute,
yeah,
this room? I think your main, like, I don't know about you guys, but my main problem would be to solve would be the actual room itself. How,
mm-hmm,
your, is it going to be sort of soft fabric down the edges of all the wall with the photography on, or plain,
yeah,
wall?
I was also thinking of like doing tapestry, so like most of it would be covered up by like old like duvets and stuff that I've brought in as well.
Wow, okay.
So I thought through it, but I've just not like noted it down exactly, so like if I was actually drawing it out, I'd know where everything would go. But yeah, I've like got like loads of different elements to put into it, and I've looked into Anthony Gormley as well, and he's got loads of installations that are like related to my piece. So he's got like a blue themed installation where it's like blocky, but I'm not doing that. But then he's also got the bedroom installation, and it would be like a combination of the two.
Sure.
Yeah.
And has anyone got any sort of artists, or is there any sort of influence that Amy could now sort of bring in at this stage, do you think?
There's that one that I always forget the name of that we went to see at the Welcome Collection. The smoke, the cold smoke. I always forget their name.
And
like
I never know how to say his name. Is it Olaf Ellison?
Let's have a look.
I can write it. I don't have to.
Yes,
it,
I don't
know
how to pronounce
it
either, but could you write that at the page? Who uses light.
Okay.
You know, so at this stage now you're considering lighting.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably look at him as an artist.
This one, it's like Olaf, like Eliasson or something.
Yeah.
Because you
it's
referenced him for me as an artist reference.
Yeah, because
yeah,
he's fantastic for anyone
O-L-A-F-U-R.
That's...
O-L-A-F-U-R. Second
yeah.
word. E-L-I-A-S-S-O-N.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got that.
Ava, do you want a question?
Sorry.
We've had a question. We
have got 1 minute and 15
seconds. Okay, go on to the questions. Go on, let's get two questions to Amy.
What do you think is a weakness in your project, and how will you go about fixing it?
Just like making sure I jot everything down when I need to, rather than like doing it in a certain order. Like when I think of it, write it rather than thinking of it later, because I tend to forget a lot of things quite quickly, and then I'll remember later, I'm like, oh, I can't do that anymore because I don't have enough time or something.
Yeah, and that's what those little books are for, like, really.
Yeah.
You know, like, we, you know, when we encourage you, it's like just scribble in it, you
mm-hmm.
know, even if it's a post-it note, or
yeah,
you know, just as those sort of aid memoirs to
yeah.
remind you, because, you know, as Chantal said earlier, you know, like backfilling is quite tricky
mm-hmm.
because of our memories. You
yeah.
know, we miss really pertinent points of the development of where your idea changed direction slightly. And if you don't record that, it's sometimes hard to remember where that influence came from
mm-hmm.
or that conversation.
Yeah.
So how's Jason Butler?
Oh, I was like just looking into the colour blue, and I went to his exhibition,
mm.
so I thought I should add him and then talk about it, just as like an influence.
Okay, cool. Fab.
Great, thank you.
Look forward to seeing how it develops.
Mm.
Right, Paige and Olivia, if you wouldn't mind scribing.
Thank you.
So Paige, do you want to give us just a quick synopsis of
your project?
Of your
yes.
projects, just because there's some people here that
yeah.
are probably not privy to where you are.
Okay, so my project is kind of based on my experiences with OCD, and so I started off by looking at a major inspiration to begin with was the Japanese artist Yayoi Kusama, because she uses the dot motif to demonstrate obsession. And so I kind of went from there and developed into kind of, I did some exploration with dots, and then that's kind of transformed into holes, and I think that's where I'm at with communicating that aspect. And so what I've been working on in the past week is, I was working with plasticine, which I'm not sure where this, I think this is just going to end up being experimentation rather than anything I'm going to develop further, because I just don't really see where I can take it as a material to use. It's not... particularly sturdy, but it was interesting to kind of get some of these dots, and it was kind of relevant because when I was younger I was used to you know, make these like little cubes out of plasticine and things. And so I was doing some casting yesterday with some holes, and I really like this this kind of practice, this medium of where it's going. And so the hole kind of being the representation of obsession, or kind of getting stuck, you know, the phrase down the rabbit hole, you know, as in kind of, you know, getting stuck on an idea or a concept and just keep on going further and further until you've kind of lost where you began. And so I did the casting with things, which was slightly messy, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. We've dealt with it.
Yeah. And so I really... These are obviously on quite a small scale, but I can imagine them being on a much bigger scale and kind of feeling as if... I think a bigger scale would be much more effective. And so if I kind of want to perhaps have them all in a room, and I was considering using sound as well, because I like the idea of using sound to also... So the purpose is essentially to draw people into my experiences and to kind of make them feel how I feel. And so I thought about using the sound of like a ticking clock, because I think that sound in general causes anxiety in most people, like a countdown almost.
Mm.
And so I wanted to use... I've just broken off. Use the sound of a ticking clock to encapsulate that, but I wanted to perhaps have... If I do it in a digital sense, I'd have to talk to Ben or Brandon, see if they could give me some insight into it, is to use two different speakers and have the clock sound ticking, but at different times to one another.
So it's out of sync.
So it's out of sync. So it's kind of, you've got the ticking of the clock, but then it, from different directions, and it's different. But, you know, the different timing, I think, will add, you know, an extra layer to that kind of disconcerting, anxiety-producing kind of feeling. But then I was talking to Amy, your mum has metronomes, doesn't she? Yeah, so I was thinking if I wanted to do it with a bit of a visual element as well, because I really like that, is that I could have a few metronomes, and that would be quite a simple solution to still have that ticking sound.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously you can set them to beats per minute. And so I could have, you know, four, probably seven, different metronomes set at different beats per minute. So you've got all of this sound going on in the background. And then these sculptures... representing obsession, and then so I was testing out.
What about light?
Yeah, I haven't thought too much about lighting at the moment, but I think.
Because
if
you're going to have. So imagine, like, you know, an exhibition night,
mm-hmm.
So if it was out in the open, it's going to be lots and lots of noise of
yeah.
just the, you know, the hoi polloi, all there, all friends, family. So really, if you want the ticking and the feeling that you're talking of a room, aren't you?
Yes.
So, and within the room, you know, it's just going to have, like, at this point, just ceiling lighting.
Yeah, I definitely need to look more into the kind of lighting, what, you know, kind of colour lighting. Do I want to use a kind of soft lighting or harsh lighting, depending?
What about strobe lighting?
Yeah,
You've got warnings for that.
Yeah, and also I would just... Like, I want to make other people uncomfortable, not me uncomfortable.
Again, a bit like with Amy,
speaking
from somebody who's made installation
mm-hmm.
art, sometimes simplicity is like,
yeah.
like just the purity of
mm-hmm.
a couple of elements that really work together. So, like having objects that maybe people can interact with.
Yeah.
I can definitely see these built on a much
mm-hmm.
bigger scale
so
people actually get inside of them.
Uh-huh.
Like, what do you guys think? Scale is going to be important with these, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Because I think another thing that I was thinking of was I talked a bit about this last week, is how I want to kind of encourage people to feel them, to kind of interact with them. And this paint, and PJ was saying earlier, is that the painting, it doesn't kind of communicate that kind of anxiety-inducing discordant effect, because the colours, you know, they work together too nicely. I need to think about how to make it, you know, how to, so people shudder a bit when they look at it, so it makes you more uncomfortable.
I don't know, I think these on mass with a change of scale, so
mm-hmm.
that they're actually sort of built for people to interact with them,
yeah.
colour or not, they're going to be very disconcerting objects.
Yeah, staring
like,
into the abyss.
Just like
yeah.
entering into a room where you've got all these things
yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and like the sound of metronomes,
I
think that would be very disconcerting for most people.
I was kind of thinking, because I've got quite a few of these and I'm going to do some more casting today, so I wanted to experiment with including different textures on the outside, so it's more of a kind of a tactile, because these at the moment, still feel a bit like Vaseline, which is actually disconcerting enough. I should just smother everything in Vaseline.
We should, because there's nothing more, you know, everybody's been in the tube and put their hand on a, well, I have, you know, you're on the rail and been like,
it's sticky.
There's nothing more disconcerting, I think, than touching something wet that doesn't belong to you.
Like in certain nightclubs, like the walls.
I should just
sweat.
Get everybody to like chew like, some chewing gum, and I'll just get them to stick it on the outside of the scotch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know.
Throw them promptly
away.
Yeah,
it's like gross, like underneath tables where you see chewing gum collecting. It's like,
do you think you'll have, like, if you're thinking larger scale, do you think you'll have one large hole or like loads of the smaller ones as like a.
Yesterday when I was casting, I wanted to look for some dowels to kind of have a block like this, but with holes kind of all over it rather than just one straight through. And I've obviously got these ones, which I plunged into the plaster. See there?
Mm-hmm.
Here's one I made earlier. So, but then, because I wanted to perhaps play around with, so I've got some plunged ones, some ones that go right through, and then I wanted some which have all of the holes in, because it kind of plays into that whole, like, that was it, trypophobia, the whole holes which Chantal hates. Everybody hates it. Nobody enjoys looking at that. That lotus pod, nobody enjoys
that.
Like the surface of crumpets.
Yeah.
Don't like the surface of the crumpet.
No, they do. You look at it for too long.
They're good to fill
all of it's a bit freaky.
And so I could perhaps even incorporate some of that and play into other people, the kind of like general things that make people anxious. Because if I include things that are too specific to me, people are going to be looking at it and be like.
But I think in terms of logistics, okay, pouring plaster on a monumental scale is like really challenging, and we simply don't have the facilities to do that. So we might have to think about changing up the processes.
Okay.
So maybe these are hollow structures that are made out of MDF or something.
Yeah.
You know, like basically a cube with the whole hole. And then you can coat it in whatever you want. You can coat it in faux fur or like chewing gum or whatever. Like the surface of it can then be opened up to lots of other processes.
Okay.
You're limited with that material in terms of a monumental scale.
Mm-hmm.
And again, moving something like that.
Yeah.
Solid plaster is
very heavy.
Or the other way is you make like 30 molds.
Yeah.
Of the small, and you're pouring. You're literally going to manufacture and making to build up a kind of disconcerting
wall. I think it's the interaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you really want people to immerse themselves in the same sort of experience that you have, they've got to be able to fully.
Mm-hmm.
Almost referencing the, you know, the when we went to the church.
Yeah.
You know, there was that cardboard.
Yeah. See, I hated that at first. Was that the one with the sound of the bees? In the centre.
It looks like the organ.
Because the tubes. Yeah,
yeah,
I hated that at first when everybody was there, but then I went in afterwards and everybody left and I loved it. So I do think that I could re-reference that,
You know, I would maybe look back at that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because if, as what we, because now what we're talking now is logistics and actual production for you.
Problem solving in that respect.
Because you may want to contact, like last year we had the Jersey Concrete company. Gary's got contact with Rone, so you could possibly talk about having concrete ones made, but then it's about price
and they are really heavy, and we had a student do it last year and they could only really fabricate to a very small size.
Because I suppose the casting is, I think it's just when I do any new process I just get kind of taken with it. I'm like, I love it, let's do more of it, even though it was, you know, Vaseline induced hell. But
in terms of small scale multiples, absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you're wanting to change the scale of them so people can actually interact with them, we'll have to change.
Yeah,
the
I think the material, it's about more about the message and the interactive element rather than the material it's made out of. If I can make this out of something which is
cardboard.
Yeah, cardboard.
Going and getting huge pieces
of
cardboard, going down to either Rue de Prey, finding around, locating large you usually get cardboard for the big, you know, for packaging for the big
stuff. We have still got a few big bits upstairs.
So going and locating cardboard and
build,
layering it up almost, and you could carve massive holes into it.
Or just being like big hollow structures.
Yeah.
You don't even need to go to the extent of like carving necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
It sounds like a really fabulous thing. There's a few logistical things to sort out,
definitely.
But Great.
Yeah.
Again, for you, now I would start drawing
yep.
Making
your
some
plans,
drawing plan.
Showing us what this room is going to start looking like.
Okay.
Plan A, B, C, D, E,
we are allowed to paint the walls in the rooms.
We are, but you know, what we're going to have to do is, because everyone
yeah.
and their dog wants
room.
A room this year, so we've only got three or four rooms, so it's going to be the best designs.
First come, first serve,
delivered with, you know, with a good solid idea that we'll get the room.
Yeah,
you know,
you have to really prove to us why exactly you need a room,
okay.
why it's actually essential.
Okay,
cool,
yeah.
Right,
have
Olivia.
A plan,
yeah,
I kind of wrote my name. That's fine. It's all right.
Olivia, that looks lovely already. So Liv, Florence, over to you.
So I started off by doing. I was looking into patterns in nature. My work is tending to be more like perfectionist, so I kind of wanted to make everything neat and tidy and like with a form, which is what a lot of patterns in nature are. They're very symmetrical, stuff like that. So looking at like the golden rule, Pythagoras and stuff like that.
What's your discipline, Liv? What's
print,
your
printmaking? There was nature prints as well. I wanted to look at lino cut, but in the end, just doing the nature prints and then taking them into the print room was kind of more
are you
than
going
enough.
To university? Sorry.
Sorry?
Are you going to university?
Yes.
What are you going to study?
Fine art.
Fine art. Okay, so these need to be fine art prints.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I was doing a couple and just rolling onto the leaves itself,
mm.
kind of looking at the different
mm-hmm.
patterns, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then these were just from the nature prints themselves, but taking them then onto acetate and being able to work with the light box, there's just some experimentation there. Looking into the patterns, distorting them, and so forth.
They look great, those distorted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Adding them all together, kind of merging all the patterns together to form one larger pattern. So
what do you want to do with this pattern? So let me create this pattern.
So after doing the looking at cyanotypes, because that's obviously a really big part of like kind of nature printing, looking into patterns that plants create, as looking into the blue and also the porcelain China prints, which is what this piece reminded me of that I just did yesterday. So I thought of exploring that a little bit more, but I did in the end want to create something with fabric, so possibly then I've printed onto fabric, it's not dry yet, so couldn't bring it from the print room, but keeping with the kind of the cobalt blue,
mm-hmm.
which is the colour that they use for the
cyanotype
and the porcelain Chinese prints,
mm-hmm.
Creating kind of draping kind of fabrics that you can walk into, so if there's loads hanging, and I did want to, even though these are loads of plants here, I wanted to continue with the ferns. So something I also looked into was the protected plants in Jersey specifically, and there are a lot of different ferns on there,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember all the scientific names off by heart.
That's okay.
Yeah, so I think keeping with the theme of ferns, especially linking back to kind of the protected ones, it might be kind of controversial to then print with them because obviously they're protected and we should keep them safe, but kind of presenting them and making their shape and pattern known.
I think that's something you need to reference, you know, going
yeah.
on that ethical considerations.
Yeah.
Be
mm-hmm.
like, well, there's,
yeah.
here was an ethical consideration, you know, I want to do
mm-hmm.
art to promote the protection of these
plants
mm-hmm. but actually I'm going to break a couple of the leaves off and
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, use them.
So
either that or you change your method.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Which might, I mean,
you draw them instead of
yeah.
printing them.
But then, because I've been working from the nature prints themselves, and especially with the ferns, they create the nicest print because you can see the pollen on them as well. And they just come out the neatest. They have the most intricate patterns, I think. So it just, it's being able to replicate that specific pattern that I want
sure.
onto a larger scale. And
So as far as the final piece then, mm-hmm. you know, like if we were in this room, would this fabric sort of be draped off like a hoop off the ceiling and then
something
layered
like
up?
Or like in lines.
Okay,
so I was
in
looking
line, yeah.
at Molly Boltworth, because she does it on cyanotypes, but I kind of wanted to keep it with the print. So cyanotypes would be transparent, sort of, but with the prints, it would be more opaque. So if I managed to get a kind of transparent piece of fabric and then print it onto that, it would come out as more of like shadows, so it'd be a bit more defined.
So it's kind of, I would sort of work on then sort of printing onto voils and muslins that you can layer
which
up.
Is thinner,
okay.
Because that you can, you know, like here,
yeah.
like this kind of fabric.
What was that called again, sorry?
Like muslin.
Voil.
Or a voil. You know, so as you can see, the light passes through, the weave is really loose. So printing on multiples of this fabric and then layering them up, you're
mm-hmm.
going to see the imagery through,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which then opens up to embellishment as you go along. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
I think for you, Liv, what I would do is definitely do some drawings of
mm-hmm.
how you perceive it to look. And then we can work out, then you can start working out then what material you need to buy.
Yeah. And also experiment with the material as well. I mean, I've got to get a larger version of this onto a screen, and then one that I wanted, because I wanted to get all of the ferns printed and ready,
mm-hmm.
and then be able to work with the same image on different fabrics to then.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but yeah.
Once you've got your silk screens, you'll be able to fly through it,
yeah.
but.
It's getting
your time is again, it's a time management thing for you. Just, I would really aim to have these designs ready to print for Monday,
yeah. That's fine mm-hmm.
because you may want to dye some of these fabrics
mm-hmm.
or ombre them at all. Or
I quite like the idea of having the, as you mentioned, I think quite a bit earlier, is having the one specific blue
sure.
that was linking back to kind of the. Chinese kind of
Shibori Japanese
and keeping with that and the contrast between the white and the blue
gorgeous.
Light that they have on the ceramics as a
gorgeous
as
a so it's almost getting your indigo dye
yeah
to sort of dye all
an
the fabrics
indigo, yeah.
the same colour
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for sure
yeah.
you know because you kind of want a mixture of white and blue fabric to print blue flames on the white, and white onto the blue.
Yeah, definitely the contrast between the both. I quite like having pristine lines and being able to see the pattern fully. So I don't really want to mix in any other colours or like any ombres. I really want it to be defined.
Just make sure that because you're off to study fine art,
mm-hmm.
that everything that you do,
yeah.
practically speaking, is fully conveying your message, your idea, your starting point, your theme, because there's no point in creating like highly embellished things if that's not really actually what you're trying to
yeah.
communicate. It's about, you know, this theme
mm-hmm.
of understanding nature, understanding our
mm-hmm.
environment, protecting it, loving it. So maybe it's just about
mm-hmm.
the purity of the image.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So consider that.
Yeah. I
will do. Cool. Questions from the floor.
Can you identify what to record as primary research?
Well, there's observational drawings, and also I think I haven't
done
them.
Any yet.
Basically. Yes, but they are larger scale, so they're not in.
Okay.
But also, just having the nature prints themselves as stuff like that. I've also don't think with me. Have got photographs of the complete square of the patterns of certain plants themselves, but then again, I'm kind of leaning more towards the fern, so most of my kind of experimentation now is just with the fern.
What about organisations that protect
say,
nature?
Yeah.
Like Trees for Life,
conserva,
the Sea Shepherds.
Conservatory
yeah.
kind of.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've, yeah.
The guardians of this world.
The main one I have got is the leaflet on, or the PDF document on the protected plants in Jersey.
Yeah.
That's kind of the main one that I've been referring back to when it comes back.
But what
to
about contacting some of these places?
Yeah, because that's not primary.
That's not primary.
There was, I was going to forage with Kaz, one of the people.
Was?
Not going ahead.
So
I'm not able to do it.
Well, have you talked to him?
Yeah,
I have
interview.
Done, but
well,
he's not.
Well,
he's,
have you recorded that?
Oh, it just by emails, so I haven't been able to. He's not available to do
that.
Yeah,
that's fine, but that's
so,
good. You know,
yeah.
Like, what questions are you asking?
Oh, like if it was, if we could go out and
oh no,
and
if he can't do that, it's about him and his passion.
Okay.
But Liv, you know,
actually,
but what, again, with Chantal trying to pin down this context, so, you know, it's like understanding what drives him, not the ifs, whats, and like...
Can
oh,
he meet up?
Can,
yeah. No.
Yeah.
You want, what you're trying to pin down from these people and from this research is what drives them to be in that part of, you know, that sector. You know, why they want to save these species. What drives them?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's ultimately what you want to infuse into this project, isn't it? Like that fine art angle, you know.
Yeah.
Don't get lost in the... meeting up, what, how, you know, the sort of logistics.
Like, primary research can happen through, like, email, just as long as you're reaching out to these people. It's just evidencing that you have a really strong awareness and an understanding of the theme that you're exploring. And it's not just about the patterns in nature anymore, it's talking about sustainability, environment, conservation. So you need to be engaging with people that are actually doing that in a real world context.
Mm.
Okay.
So, you know, you could be using, instead of going onto muslins, you could be reappropriating recycled fabrics.
Mm.
You could be printing onto clear recycled plastics.
Like investigating sustainability within the textile industry.
Yeah.
What moves and shapes are happening in terms of that, even in terms of dyes and printing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about the sort of plant-based printing. I finally found out the recipe for the mixture for treating the fabric to do plant-based actual printing.
Okay.
And even investigating, you know, it might be a little bit too late, but, you know, doing some actual, make indigo, you know, like make an indigo vat, get into that natural dyeing and printing.
And also in your sketchbook, have you got documentation about the traditions of these willow patterns?
Of the Chinese,
the willow pattern.
I've got it upstairs, it's not like written down.
Yeah,
because
then you could look at other sort of ceramic companies who are sort of taking that on board, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of them, Wedgwood, you know, really inspired by that.
And if I was thinking of, you know, if I've been looking, sorry, I know this is throwing more in, but, you know, like if I was looking at sort of porcelain as well as an inspiration, then wouldn't you think of maybe then moulding the fabric so that they're becoming a bit more rigid as an experiment?
Shaping them,
because... that sort of feeds that sort of idea of, you know, you've not just looked at design, you're thinking of the structure, you're thinking of the material, and you're trying to then infuse that into an alternative material, which, you know, could really elevate the fine art aspect, for sure. Because, like, again, here, just simply these. You know, if you imagined you've got your prints on some of these, dyed, and you've moulded them into kind of shapes you want, mimicking
maybe
shapes,
like, sort of like traditional Chinese ceramic ware.
When you've looked at ceramic ware.
Yeah, I love that.
And then that's really starting to move into a fine art.
Conceptual
realm.
Because those pots were like almost sacred.
Mm-hmm.
There was battles that happened at sea when they were first being brought into Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
So
no, it's exciting.
Cool.
This is, you
it's
know, again, I think for you it's a time management thing now and it's an execution. And I think just be very aware of, again, I was waiting on that person to see them and they're coming back to me about and sort of really looking at the sort of priorities and thinking, well,
time
actually,
this
is more important, the doing and the...
Yeah.
Right, sorry, Ava, would you mind documenting for Nadia, please?
Cool.
Sorry,
that's
really good, thanks.
Nadia, do you want to give everyone a little bit of a context to your
project? So basically, the main theme of my project is transforming music into artwork, and I had a bit of a situation situation where I was a bit stuck, but so my idea has changed quite a lot. So I was focusing on like how it made my, how different music makes my emotions, so it's like personal. But then I was doing self-portraits and stuff, and listening to like the sounds that I was creating whilst making those self-portraits, but that got a bit complicated, and I wanted to like create my own kind of music, obviously with the help of like Ben and stuff, but then that was taking too much time because obviously they can't be with us all the time. So I just scrapped that, started again, and then I started focusing on like how music makes like affects like everyone's emotions, because like obviously like, you know, if you're having a bad day and then you listen to something that you really like, that's going to affect how you feel. It's going to make you feel better. So yeah, it's basically showing it like visually how like music, it is still kind of personal because it's like, you know, me listening to two different types of music and, you know, reflecting that onto a piece of artwork with like various movements and stuff about how it makes me feel. So it is still personal, but it's basically just trying to like show the public and like my audience the how it like change, how it just, you know.
So it's almost an idea, it's almost like your point is to show that everybody interprets things differently.
Yeah.
In a visual manner.
Yeah.
So I guess, I don't know about you guys with this idea, but I kind of think, well, you can do it from your point, but you kind of need to then get someone to listen to the same types of music and respond.
Yeah.
And someone else to listen to the same music and respond, and then look at the responses.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily have to respond visually.
No.
Either. They can respond verbally.
Yeah.
Like, listen to this.
Yeah.
Say five words that come into your mind. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's like spiky and hard and aggressive. And
yeah, so I was actually getting people, being really annoying, getting everyone to do that in my class.
Okay, very good.
But yeah, I don't know. And then I also was looking at like experiments like cornstarch and stuff like on top of the speaker and how like that moves.
Oh,
just like looking at different movements and things.
So it's almost the project is pinned by sound.
Yeah. Basically,
yeah. So your experiments have all been almost anything where sound can have an effect on a visual outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then as a final project then, Nadia, is it going to be a collection of all these findings, almost like slightly sort of, it's like a scientific thing, like it's just a mixture and it's like, here is my concept is just that basically this is how music, this is all the different ways people respond to music. And how I respond to music.
This is the bit that I was a bit stuck on because I was doing experiments and things because I didn't know like, because I like me and Chantel were talking about it and like I had done ones where I was just listening and using my movements with like different kinds of tools, but then I was thinking like it needs to be more like fluid so that it really is like my movement. So I was looking at different techniques on how like paint can become like more like a liquid and just. So I did a few of these ones, but yeah, that's not my colour palette, but it was just an experiment. But yeah, that's like what I can't like see a final piece, so I think I just need to like look at a few more.
I think the challenge comes, and it's a bit like the challenge with art, it's music is so subjective.
Yeah.
So like, to me, metal music is quite calming, but somebody else, they might find that really stressful, okay? And it's just too broad. So maybe it's to do with sounds, like really specific sounds, like crackling of crisp packets, like loud bangs, you know, and the images that then come from that, because it's a bit easier to pin down in terms of imagery and mark making.
What's my suggestion to Nadia? Is it ARM? Auto...
ASMR,
yeah. Was it automated meridian
sensory
response?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like remove kind of language.
Yeah, you know, that people are really into, you know, and that's as a form of mindfulness, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I think now to this point, you really need to decide if this is going to be more of an aesthetic visual thing or like a conceptual thing, like just like a speaker with a coating over it, where people can see sound and things responding to
to different music.
Okay, yeah.
You know, or it's an interpretation of sound as a visual.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. I was just going to interpret it in a visual.
But I think it needs to be limited to like really specific sounds, like a ticking of a metronome. Yeah, because
yeah.
that instantly has an image.
Yeah,
yeah, like that sort of wiper movement, or
yeah.
like a bang is like a sort of like punch in the face sort of thing. You know, it's about I think being a bit more selective in terms of the things that you're using as stimulus.
Or different people, how they react to the same
yeah.
sounds. Like, you know, you did all that work with the visually impaired at the beginning. Well, is the, you know, couldn't you go full circle? Because a visually impaired person is going to hear sound very differently and interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Or do they?
Yeah.
Don't know until you try.
Yeah.
If you blindfold people, do a bit of an experiment. And you can record that.
And this can be part of your show, you know, like
yeah.
it could be a film, like, you know, that you're conducting all these. But I think you've kind of really got to come to a decision soon.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, but then again, with a lot of these, so this is where you don't feel pressured. For the people that have done lots of experimentation, that's where they can pick and choose now, right, I'm putting these two together like this.
Yeah.
So I think for you, it's going to be a case of looking at all your strongest experiments. And being like, well, what's got the what's the wow factor? What's the thing that's
but
moving?
But also
me?
With UAL, as me and PJ have been sat through all these standardisation things, they are not interested in the final pieces particularly.
Yeah.
That's not a limiting factor in terms of achievement. Okay,
yeah.
It's about your journey. They're far more interested in seeing you trying loads of things and coming at it from lots of different angles than beautiful final pieces. Now, obviously, you've got the pressure of the show.
Oh, yeah.
So there still is that element for you, but just enjoy that journey, and hopefully then it'll just come apparent.
Have you guys got any ideas for Nadia? Because it seems like you're a bit of a sticking point still.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you were going to do this, the same sort of project with noise, what sort of angle would you possibly take?
I mean, artist-wise, I'd look into Billie Eilish because she has, I don't know what it's called.
She has synesthesia because that's
yeah.
exactly what I started thinking when you were talking about
yeah.
the project.
I looked at that because Jason Butler did a thing with this other musician and he would paint to what he the
mm-hmm.
a boy would
mm-hmm.
see in his music. So I kind of looked at that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to like not do that, but like it has given me inspiration obviously, but it's hard to like
do it when you don't have
or know anyone
yeah.
that I can speak to or
mm.
do you know what I mean?
Are you doing like songs that you personally listen to, so like when you like if you were doing experiments for other people like blindfolding them, would you play the music that you listen to or
well that's what I have been doing, so I selected songs that are completely different, so
mm.
a song that made me feel calm and put me at ease when I needed to be, and then I also selected a song that made me feel paranoid and like
yeah
and that's what these like mood boards are for. So whilst listening these, sorry I don't know if you guys can see that, but this is the paranoid one obviously, as you can see, but I like heard scratching noises and obviously there was the drum beat and it's just like a, and then these are just yeah. So
well,
it's
I've
just
heard
like
PJ hit up on something before about this sort of collection
mm.
idea of things that are representative
yeah.
as a possibility.
Have you looked into like body movement and sound, like different ways that obviously like kind of with dance that people obviously move different with different kinds of music, like the same with, I'm guessing, with the kind of paranoia and the scratchings and stuff like that, but with more movement. So I think there's a couple artists that kind of lie down and make movements with their arms and
mm.
stuff in response
yeah.
to different
sounds. I did look at this one artist called Bettina, I think, yeah, and she like uses like the perimeters of her body and she like uses like she like likes to capture like one specific move of that dance,
mm-hmm.
like by almost like recording it, but like in an image. So I looked at her.
I think Nadia, this is like, you know, everyone, it's the ideas are all there, but you've got to pick on one and
yeah.
push it.
Yeah.
I think what's the problem for me is there's no immersion. You know, like even these two boards. Now, if you were really immersing yourself in that idea. You would have rounded the corners on that. You would have rounded the corners on that. You would have painted that white. You would have rounded the corners on that. On this one, you would have charred and burned and smacked and... Do you know what I mean? So even the mood boards are confusing and don't really tell you much other than the imagery. So you've kind of really got a... You know, if you're going and reacting to something so sensory like music, you have to immerse yourself into it. So it can't be surface, you know, it can't be just, oh yeah, that's my interpretation. You've really got to think, well, if I am thinking calm and I am thinking weather, then that's not a calm, you know, it's going in a direction, but it's not immersed in the idea.
Yeah.
You know, again, even like, you, this isn't my colour palette. It should be at this point.
Yeah, because I didn't know what music I was going to start off with.
I know, but then, you know, again, but this, you know, if I was sort of converting this to music, it would be quite chaotic music because blue and orange are contrasting colours on the wheel. So to me, that would be, you know, the idea of a trombone and, like, you know...
That's like acid jazz.
Yeah, like, do you know what I mean? So you've got to immerse yourself and be like, well, again, if I'm applying colour to sound and things like that, then what music would this be? You know, if this is, you know, going around and being like, well, if you were going to put this into a music genre, what would this be?
Mm-hmm.
But you've only got two samples. If you had six... varieties.
Oh, I've got more in the studio.
Yeah, like, or, you know, all in the same. You could give them a definition.
Yeah.
You know, you could be like, well, oh, this is acid jazz. That is, you know, that to me is a little bit more chilled music, you know.
Mm.
I think, in all honesty, Nadia, you're getting a bit bogged down with sort of product. What's it going to look like? What's it going to be? What's it going to do? But just, it could be a collection of, like, experiments where you're just exploring sounds. If it ends up being a speaker with a bit of cloth and seeds on it, but you've backed it up with loads of research, that's amazing.
And then all these
that's
little
fine.
Bits on shelves, you know, these
that's
finished
fine.
Off. That's absolutely
It doesn't
fine.
Have to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can just be stuff.
Because, people, you know, if you think of an audience as well, you know, a lot of people like looking at curios, you know, museum pieces.
Going,
oh,
what's
If you
that?
Go to the Science Museum or the Wellcome Collection.
Or the archives.
You know, it's... It's
like
a collection of stuff.
That's
the
yeah.
feeling. It doesn't have to be one object that, you know... Oh,
because you're trying to evoke feeling from people. You're trying to get your audience to sort of, like, respond to it. So just attack it from a really pure thing with just, like, you know, your experiments. Just let it flow a little bit more.
Totally. Yeah, go with the flow.
Mm.
Cool, sounds good.
Mark, anyone... Questions?
Or
suggestions?
Like, with how you were saying, just presenting like those, I think what would be interesting is having like an audio, but a series of those that you've created, and when people hear like the, let's say, five different audios, they can look at one of the pieces and maybe stand in front of it and go,
yeah.
oh, that's the
yeah.
you know, I can link the sound that I'm hearing to the piece that's what labeled, you know, different ones.
But that's why I think
yeah.
you need to sort of like be really specific on the sounds.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because you were
three.
Trying to get everybody to agree on that.
You know, yeah, totally. Like there's three images that you've created, three sounds, and each part, you know, and three sets of earphones, you know, and each the viewer
yeah.
then listens
Amazing.
To each
that
one.
That is actually what I was going to do, like with the headphones.
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, there you
but,
go.
Yeah.
You could get them to like doodle while.
Yeah.
They're listening to it like blindfolded or whatever, and like we'll have like the same song playing or
yeah,
something.
You can have that
yeah.
Totally
element.
Interactive. White pads in front of it. Please respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you might
That'd
find
be great.
That it's similar to like the one you've made.
Yeah.
You know,
so I have like feedback on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
no, this is a cute idea. Again, I think just be wary again, as I always say to everyone, colour palette.
Mm.
You know, if you want it to sort of look synchronized, stick to the same colours, even when experimenting, if you can.
Okay, cool, that's it. Time is up, I'm afraid.
Excellent. I hope, listen, yeah, hopefully this is going to be some ideas there.
Yeah.
Suddenly now
Thank
get
you.
On with.
With these forms, please make sure you have them stuck in your sketchbook with some responses of your own, okay? Documenting feedback and how you respond. This is part of what you're assessed on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. It all sounds really interesting.
I'm getting excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a cool show.
Just start drawing plans, start thinking now, maybe having a little walk around the building, sort of getting an idea for certain spaces, the possibilities.
Yeah, Nadia, if you would mind taking Abby's things.
Yeah.
Thank you.